Well, hasn't the music been great tonight? I feel like we've already had a great meeting. We could probably just quit right now and say God's done His work. Amen. Looking out here at faces and people crying and thinking about what people are going through and knowing God's faithful to us all the time. Wow. I saw somebody looking at me kind of strange. I was leaning forward in the chair, but I was afraid to sit back. It's so big, I was afraid I'd never get out of it. And my legs are so short, you know. I thought, what do I do? Do I sit forward and look kind of out of whack, or do I lay back and just lounge out? You know, I wasn't sure exactly what to do there. But yeah, we survived it. And boy, am I glad to be preaching tonight. Oh, man, am I glad to be preaching tonight. Several reasons for that. One is to get the load delivered so I can enjoy this meeting. Amen. If you preach these meetings, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I mean, it's just like Indian. You've got to get it out of you and so that you can relax. The other reason is Obama will be in town tomorrow. Most of you will be there. And certainly the other preachers won't have this crowd. Amen. God have mercy if that's the case. Amen. Well, what a blessing. I can tell you one thing. I've hosted these meetings enough to know this church has gotten it together. And they're ready for this meeting, and they've prayed it up and got it ready. And, you know, it's just be hard for us not to have a good meeting. We thank the Lord for that. I'm excited about the number of preachers in this meeting. But I'm excited about the number of young preachers in this meeting. And I'm thanking God for it because some of our heads are getting a little bit more white than they used to be. And thank God for these young men that are coming up the ladder. I don't mean the political ladder. I mean they're just aging up and taking over. And thank God for that. Amen. I praise His name for it. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me. I was tempted to do just that, read the text. And Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say most preachers take a text and preach from it, so far from it you can never tell they took it. And I was tempted. And I have to tell you, I've spent a lot of hours in deep oppression trying to get where I think God wanted me to be tonight. But I think I'm there. And so I invite you to stand together with me and turn to our text, Isaiah chapter number 43. Now, I want to begin reading in verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 19. Not a greater sound to the ears of a preacher than to hear the Word of God, the pages flipping. Isn't it great? Especially when we believe we have a Bible. That makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Not just flipping pages, we're flipping the pages of Holy Writ. Given to us by God. Praise His name. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money. Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be justified. Thy first father has sinned. And thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offering. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, tonight I'd ask you to just bless the Word of God to our hearts. Lord, just reading your Word, we're challenged. Just feeling your passion for us, we're moved. And yet, Lord, tonight there's so much in this passage that cries out for our attention and deserves a hearing from us tonight. And so I pray that you would anoint me to speak your Word. And Lord, I know that I can't say anything tonight. I can't do anything to make this a meeting. Don't want to do that. But I pray, Father, that you would just show up and be the honored guest in this place and anoint us tonight. And Father, if you do that and you have your way in this service, it will be a meeting and we will be blessed. And so we ask for your help tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Anyone who knows the history of Israel knows the significance of God's mercy and God's grace toward them. And let me say, while I'm talking about Israel, because that's the context here, we too tonight know the mercy and grace in our life. Amen? The history of Israel is an awful history, one of oppression and one of war. Their behavior is one of disobedience and idolatry. And from the days of bondage in Egypt, even under Sennacherib, and even under this present day, Israel has been in bondage. I think as we listen to the news and we hear about Hezbollah and Hamas and Fatah and all the groups and all the nations of the world that disdain Israel, we understand the oppression that nation has gone through. It has been the scourge of the world. And listen to me, it will become even more a scourge as finally there will be a great battle in Megiddo. And the nations of the world literally will come against Israel because they hate her. But not so of God. Not so of God. And in type, the church tonight, not so of God's love for us. Amen? God is going to meet our needs and provide for us rivers in the desert. As He said to Abraham, "And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And you say, "But preacher, it is not so right now." But I want to tell you, God will be faithful. Amen? God will be faithful. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, listen, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations, which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye." God is letting his people know that in the very wildernesses of life, he will be there for them. Amen? And I want to tell you tonight, by the grace of a loving God, that in the wildernesses of our life, God will also be there. Amen? He has promised that. He is a God of covenant with us. Vitringa says, "So wonderful shall be God's future interpositions in the life of Israel that all past ones shall be forgotten in comparison." Amen? Oh, what God is going to do for His people Israel. What God is going to do for His church. Amen? And we can trust Him that He is going to be there for us. In verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing." I don't think there's any doubt about the context here tonight that God is talking about the future and final salvation of Israel. That even though they are a belligerent people and have turned their back on God, listen to me tonight, God has not turned His back on them. Amen. And even though we be a belligerent and deliberately disobedient people, thank God tonight over and over when we do not deserve His blessings and we do not deserve His love, that God is still faithful to us. Amen. Oh, I think about tonight the condition of Israel. The Bible summarizes that condition in our text here in chapter 43 and verse number 27. Look at the condition of Israel with me. The first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. He said, I want you to know you've not been good to me. I want you to know that you have not done what you ought to have done to a God who loved you and gave Himself for you. You have been disobedient and you have been rebellious. In chapter 42, we get the preface to our text. And he says in chapter 42 and verse 16, he said, you're blind. You're blind by the way. He said, you're darkness that needs light. He said, you're crooked and you need to be made straight. He said, Israel, you're not what you ought to be. You've been robbed and you've been spoiled and you've become the offscouring of the earth. And I ask you tonight, why would God, listen to me, why would a sovereign God want to supply a river in the desert for such people as that? And I thought as I prepared for the message tonight, why would God want to provide a river in the desert for people like us? Well, you say, well, but preacher, we're pastors and we're church people and we're good people. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And as we stand before Him tonight, we stand robbed of any dignity. Amen. Robbed of anything that would stand before God, we simply fall in the category that Isaiah gave in chapter 53 and verse 6 when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Oh, tonight, listen to me. The condition of Israel was bad. The condition of America tonight is bad. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm still in shock from the elections as we've chosen a socialistic direction in our country. But you know what? I'm kind of excited about it. Because as I understand the Word of God, there has to be a failure of our financial system. There has to be a failure of our religious system. There has to be a one-world government set up. And boy, oh boy, I mean, the Messiah has come, has He not? And He is saying to the peoples of the world, I am here. But I want to tell you something tonight. All of that in some way ought to encourage our hearts, because we know that Almighty God, the Sovereign God of the universe, is preparing a river in the desert for us. He is preparing us for that ultimate purpose that He has in mind for us. And I want to tell you, as God had an ultimate purpose for His people Israel, He has an ultimate purpose for His church. Amen? And God is preparing that. And I want to say to you tonight, it doesn't matter what other people might do. It doesn't matter what religions might do. It doesn't matter how unfaithful we are. It doesn't matter how disobedient we are. God can prepare the river without us. And God will prepare a river for us. Amen? Oh, tonight, I want to tell you the condition of Israel and the condition of America and the condition of the world signals to God that we do not love Him like we ought to love Him. But thank God, He's still faithful to us. Amen? He is still faithful to us. I think what America is going through tonight, we are going through because God has withdrawn some blessings from us. He's trying to remind us that He's the only river in the desert. Amen? He's the only place of refreshment for our heart and life. He's the only one that can satisfy the needs of our soul. Am I right tonight? He's the only one that can meet our needs. It isn't all the money. Listen, I'm glad I don't have any money in those places to lose. But I know some people that did. And I've watched them as their hearts have sunk. And people said, I had it all laid out and I got nothing left. But God is the river in the desert that we need. He's the one that can bring a satisfaction to our souls. I want you to see not only the condition of Israel. But I want you to notice with me tonight the concern of the Redeemer. Oh, listen, you would think, common sense and even logic would tell you that if someone would be so disobedient to you and so rebellious and so turned their back to you, that you indeed would turn your back to them. Common sense would tell you that if we would treat God that way, if God was using common sense and not sovereign wisdom, that He'd turn His back on us. But I want you to notice with me the concern of the Redeemer. Though God knew of Israel's sin, and in the church today, our sin, He had made a covenant with His people. You know, this has never been any clearer to me and never more any exciting to me than it's been as I prepared for this message to think of this. You know what? Even in every one of our failures, God has promised He's going to be there for us. Amen? That He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. You say, I'll tell you, I've pastored long enough, 36 years of pastoring now, and I can tell you, I've been around people long enough to be disappointed. I've been around people long enough to know that not always do things go the way you want them to go. Amen. I've had a few of those people walk. I tell you, I know the hurt and the pain of that. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God looks down at us and our condition is not good. But He said, I want to remind you, you are a people that I have got a covenant with, and I will not fail you, and I will provide a river in the desert for you. God's concern for Israel flows out of His divine purpose. That's what you got to get hold of tonight. It is not that they deserve a river in the desert. Oh God, here we are at the river that You gave us because of who we are. Not so. It is not because of any one of us tonight can stand, and I don't care who it is among you that may have pastored for 50 years. I respect so much Brother Joyner, but none of us, and he'd be the first to tell you, could stand here tonight and say, I deserve a river in the desert. If we got what we deserved, it would be eternity in hell. But God has provided us a river tonight in the desert, and He's done so because of His sovereign grace and sovereign will in our life, and God has a purpose for us. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 42. You see, when you get this picture that it's not about us, this river is not about us. We come there for refreshing, but the river is about God. You see, when you look at chapter 42 and verse 1, I love this. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. One might read this in a very cursive way and think that he's talking here about my servant Isaiah. But the prophecy here is about my servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who we're going to find in chapter 43 and verse 11 introduces himself, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, get a hold of this, as I am the Lord and I'm the only Savior. Get this down, I'm the only Savior. And what I'm about to do in providing a river in the desert for my people has to do with my covenant with them. I told them that I would get them. I told them I would win them. I told them I'd love them. I told them I'd save them. They've turned their back on me, but I love them, and I'm going to do what I said I would do. You say, preacher, you got that here in the text? You just hang on. Look with me in verse 4. I love this. He shall not fail. This elect one, Jesus, shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Do we give him cause to be discouraged? But he said, I'm not going to be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Look at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He said, you've been worshiping these graven images and it does nothing for you. I want to introduce you to the purpose I have for you. I am your Lord. You need to know who I am. I'll tell you what will save America tonight is not to have the best rocking out program in the churches around us. It's not to have the best facilities around. It is to have a church that is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and lifting up the Lord and letting people know that it is not about us. It is about Jesus Christ, the Savior. For beside Him, there is none other. Amen. There is none other. Look what he says here. I love this. I want to do a Dave McCracken here, right here. You know, just gets you fired up. Just go ahead and do it, right? Look at this. Look at verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He's getting wound up here now. Hey, listen, you talk about God, it ought to get you wound up. Amen? It ought to get you wound up. He's all wound up. Telling them about the provision of God for His people. He said, you're going through a rough time. You got your chin hanging down to your knees. You feel like you're ready to throw in the towel. Listen, the Lord is still able. He's still God. He's still the Savior. He's still the Creator. He's still the Redeemer. He's still the Holy One of Israel. Now look what He says. He said, sing. Can you say sing? Come on, I mean, we ought to sing. I'm telling you, there's been some singing here tonight. That choir can sing. And those boys, look like men to me, but it said the Roy boys on the card, they can sing. But I'll tell you, when we open our mouths to sing, it ought not be about just comparing voices. It ought to be about worshiping the Lord. Sing praises. Sing praises. Sing praises with understanding. Sing praises. Why? God is coming to prepare a river in the desert. He's going to fulfill His will with His people, Israel. And He's going to fulfill His will with His church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Look at this. This is great. Sing. But you know what? It's not enough to sing when you're talking about God. So He says in verse 11, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices. He said, everybody singing? Sing! He said, but that's not enough. Lift up your voices. Get your voices up. Let the whole world know that God is a God who will provide a river in the desert. He's going to meet our needs. Amen. He's going to fulfill His will for our life. But that's not enough. Not just singing. Not just lifting up your voice. But He says there in the last part of verse 11, let them shout from the top of the mountains. I'm weary and I'm a little fearful and distrustful of all the sweet Jesus religion going around today who will not lift up their voices and will not speak the truth to a lost and dying world. I'm not saying that being loud is just the whole thing. There ought to be some content to go with it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we've got a Savior tonight. Amen. We ought to get up on the wall and lift up our voices like a trumpet and warn the people of their iniquity and tell them there is a river and come to that river and there and only there can you have everlasting life. Oh, listen, the compassion and love and concern of the Savior in our life. Sing, lift up your voice, shout. But that's not enough. Look at verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord. Let them give glory unto the Lord. But that's not enough. And declare His praise in the islands. And the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against the enemies. I want you to notice the condition of Israel and the concern of the Redeemer. But I want you to also notice with me tonight and understand the conquest or the conquering, if you please, of the enemy. I want you to know that sometimes I see all the things around me and somebody said here Sunday, maybe it was you. It was you. You said, I don't worry about things that happened yesterday and I don't worry about things that are coming tomorrow. Well, I worry about things that happened yesterday. I worry about things that happened today, and I'm doing my best to worry about what's coming tomorrow. Now, I know the holiness of this crowd, and I'm quite confident that everybody in this room tonight is so much more spiritual than I am. So I understand. I understand that all is well. But I'm one of these nail-biting preachers. I'm always wondering where the mortgage is going to come from. And I'm wondering who's going to be saved on Sunday and who hasn't put some polish on the tips of their shoes and what has to be done. But the reality is, and so much have I been reminded of this as I've studied for this message, that it is so little about us, so little about us, and so much about magnifying the name of God. Look at chapter 42 again. Would you look at chapter 42 and verse number 16. And I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things are going to get straight. Praise the Lord. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. God said, I'm not going to forsake them. I have a right to forsake them. I have a right to turn my back on them. But I'm not going to do that. You know why I'm not going to do that? I've got a covenant with my people. This is about my word. I kept asking myself as I prepared for this message. And man, I'll tell you, I admit I found this a difficult message to get right where I felt comfortable preaching it. And I kept thinking, why would God want to keep coming back to such a rebellious crowd? They wore Jeremiah out. 40 times he said to them, return! And the more he said return, the more they said, listen, we are lords. We're in control of our own life. We don't need you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a hard time. He got a little depressed over the thing. About ready to quit, amen? About ready to throw in the towel. I'll tell you, listen, if you're a man of God who's been preaching or pastoring for any period of time, or evangelist or whatever, missionary, whatever God's called you to do, you've met some occasions in your life where you've been out in the wilderness, amen? And things weren't too good out there, amen? And you began to figure, how can I get this? How can I? Did you get that? How can I get this straightened up? How can I make everything work out? How can I find my way to the river? And you get discouraged and defeated as you plunge toward that river, trying to, it's like that mirage. You think you're there and you drop to the ground and there's nothing there but sand. Oh, but then I came to this verse that settled it all for me. I read this verse and I said, I get it now, Lord, I get it. Look at chapter 42 and verse 20. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. And then it says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now look up here and listen. He says, the Lord is well pleased, not for Israel's righteousness' sake. Are you here? Still with me here? He's not well pleased for the righteousness of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if it makes us sick and he recognizes it's lukewarm and it spews out of his mouth, it's certainly not because of us that he is rejoicing. Why, God, would you put a river in the desert for the likes of this crowd? Why would you do it for a nation who has for generations turned their back on you? I'll tell you why. Because God is sure of his own righteousness. And for his own righteousness' sake, he is going to complete what he said he would do. Amen? Oh, look at it again. But, verse 21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. I want to tell you tonight, my dear friends, it is going to get done. Amen? It is going to get done. God is going to take care of his needs. Thirdly, I want you to see this conquest of the enemy. Look with me in chapter 42, again in verse number 9. How's the enemy going to be defeated? If you've been preaching a while, you fought the devil a time or two. I've heard guys get up, I think they're few bricks short of a load. But I've heard him get up. Ah, bless God. Let him off. Let the devil come. I don't want him coming. I want him going. And the key to that is submit yourself, therefore, to the sovereign God who has the plan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to say tonight, sometimes I get so weary. I know you pastors have done this. Somebody comes in your office, you know, you've been there at the hospital when all their kids were born, you know, and you've married a half a dozen of their kids off, you know, and something happens in the church and they get turned sideways and they come in and they rip you up one side and down the other side. And you know, I'm not like this guy. I'm just not like him. I worry about everything. And it bothers me. Now, if you're not bothered, bless your little pea-picking heart, but it bothers me. It bothers me when people act the way they're not supposed to act. It bothers me when people gossip and they're not supposed to gossip. It bothers me when people say things about the preacher and you know they're not true. And I'm one of those, I just worry about what people are. I see some of you talking tonight and I'm sure it's about me. And my wife says to me, "You just need to quit worrying about everybody." Shut up, woman. I'm enjoying my misery, and if you'll leave me alone, I'm going to stay here a while. But I'm a worrier. Now, you may not be a worrier. And I just have to go through that sometimes. And then all of a sudden, I've got to remember that God has promised He's going to take care of the devil. Amen? He's going to take... You know, it's not in my job description to take care of the devil. It's in my personal job description as a Christian to resist the devil and flee from him and give no place to him, but I cannot conquer him. Listen, greater is he that is in you, though, than he that is in the world. He can conquer him. He can conquer him. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Chapter 42, verse 9. Remember, he said, sing, praise, lift up your voice, shout, down in verse 11. And why are we going to do all this? Why are we going to do all this shouting? Well, we're going to do all this shouting because it's the GIBF meeting. And that's what you do at a GIBF meeting. You shout. And everybody's going to act like they're happy. And everybody's going to act like they're holy. And then they're going to go back and live like they're going to sin. Why then do we come here tonight and talk about a river in the desert? Why do we talk about a place of refreshing? Why do we talk about God meeting us and taking care of us? Oh, listen, the answer is right here in this text that we have read. Just look here in verse 13. Chapter 42, verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yet roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Amen. Hey, I got news for you tonight. There's coming a day. Amen. When old Slewfoot's going to finally meet the Savior face to face. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, would you? Revelation chapter number 20. I've been thinking about this all day. I can't wait for this day to come. Look at chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Burn, baby, burn. He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. I'm going to tell you, listen to me, the one that has deceived the apple of God's eye, Israel, the one that has deceived the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and calls us to be holy and virtually ineffective in these last days, the one that has troubled your life, the one that has murdered in your family, the one that has brought destruction to your business, the one who has been there to do nothing but bring difficulty in your life, is going to be bound one day and cast into the lake of fire, and he's going to be destroyed by the God of the universe, the sovereign God, and he is going to bring us to a river in the desert where we can rejoice with him that God, who had a covenant with his people, has kept that covenant. Amen. I won't tell you, the more I read and studied for this message, the more I thought, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You say, preacher, how's he going to get this rebellious, ungodly church to where he wants us to be? Well, you see, he said that as long as we have these old fleshly bodies, we're just going to be rotten. But he's coming someday to give us bodies that no longer are vile. Isn't that good? What am I saying? I say, I want to get to the river, but I don't know how to get to the river. I keep falling in the sand. I keep falling short of the river, short of the blessing. God help me, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what He's going to do. One of these days the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and we're going home and we're going to enjoy the river of life. Amen. Oh, listen, look at Revelation chapter 21 with me, please. And I saw a new heaven, verse 1, and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, there's a behold, just like in Isaiah chapter 43, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. God says, behold, here's the new thing. Look at this, look at this. The tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. Say amen to that. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen now, the wilderness is going to go away, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, hallelujah, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I'm going to do a new thing. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What words? And He said unto me, it is done. It is done. There's going to come a day when God says, listen, you've been rebellious and I've tried to draw you in and everything I've done has failed, but it's done now. Amen? It's done now. The God of the covenant has promised that He'd never leave us and never forsake us, and He's coming back for us and He's taking us home, and we're going to have a river in the desert of our life. Look here, but look here. Not done yet. Wow, look at verse 6. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What a grand day that's going to be, amen? What a grand day that's going to be. You said, but what about, you kind of got away from the text. What about Israel? You know, back in 1985 or so, I went to Israel. Our tour guide was a young lady that had returned to Israel, as many have, proud of her heritage. And she was a very intelligent young lady from the Boston area. In fact, as we toured, she actually knew the Bible better than most of the people that preachers. Of course, the preachers that were on that tour with me also were carrying wine around and stuff. But anyhow, She said to him several times, didn't you read that in the Bible? You guys say you believe the Bible? Haven't you read this in the Bible? And I and another preacher walked her back to the hotel one night because it had gotten a little bit late. And we witnessed to her all the way and all the way. She said, you know, I don't know, maybe Jesus is Messiah. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see. But I'm going to tell you, my heart broke for her because she had no hope. Israel tonight stands all alone in the world. Maybe a few friends over here in America. And let me just tell you, a lot of them are we fundamental Bible-believing Baptists who understand the Word of God and understand they are the apple of God's eye. And God said, I'll bless them that bless thee. But listen to me, listen to me. One day, if I understand the Word of God, I think I understand it pretty well. Romans chapter 11 and verse 26 says all Israel shall be saved. The nation of Israel is going to come to God. And God, the apple of God's eye, is going to be redeemed. And I've got news for John Hagee and everyone else who wants to separate that and say that's by the works of the law. It will be by faith in Jesus Christ. Just like we get saved. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that according to the Word of God, there's going to be a conquest over the enemy. The enemy is going to be defeated. I want to close with this thought tonight. You know, we've all read the stories of God's deliverance of Egypt, Israel from Egypt. Seems to me that having seen all that, the nation's heritage would be to admit that He is the Lord and beside Him there is no Savior. But they have not so admitted. Seems to me that sitting here tonight, having seen what we have seen as church people. Come on now. It's all right to get on Israel, right? But I'm talking about Baptists now. I'm talking about what Brother Mario preached Sunday morning. When you get a group of Baptists together and you can't get them to all the services and you can't get them to go soul winning and you can't get them to come to revival and you can't get them to put their tithe in and it drives you crazy and you try to drive them like a bunch of rebellious sheep and get them to do what is right. You think after all that we have seen, the miracles that God has wrought in our places and the souls that have been saved and the things that God has done on our behalf, that we would just simply take God at His word. And yet, how many of us, myself included, have gotten on our knees and whined because there was not enough water to suit us? Let me strike the rock again. How many of us have forgotten the manna God brought down from heaven? Amen. How many of us have forgotten the pillar of fire? The cloud that God brought to lead His people? How many of us have forgotten that God has never, ever failed? And that of all of His promises, He's never failed on one of them. But how many of us, how many of you preachers tonight, including this preacher here, and I'll be the first to admit, have gotten looking for that river and that refreshment from God and fell only short of it because it was a matter of looking with eyes that did not have faith and fell short and all I got in my fingers was sand that ran between them and came up empty and realized that in my own heart I was dry and empty and that only God can fill that. Oh, tonight, may I, if nothing else, as we start this meeting, may I tell you, God wants to refresh us, but He cannot refresh us until we understand He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer, amen? He is the Lord and Savior. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is that fountain, that river coming out of the side, the pierced side of our Savior. He is that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains, and may tonight we not be looking in our flesh for the river and the desert, but may we be looking by faith to God who has said, trust me, and I will give you a river in the desert.